This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello and good evening, worthy friends. Welcome into the Nexus of Fandom. Oh, I feel like I should have a little lamp. This is an ordinary lamp. It once changed the course of a man's life. This is an ordinary podcast. It once changed the course of my life for all the years I've been doing it. It works. It works. It makes sense. This is an ordinary podcast. It once... one whose worth lays far within, not the diamond in the rough. That's right. I am the diamond in the rough. And thank you for tuning in to listen to me via Diamond in the Rough. And of course, what is the rough around here? Well, that's Pastor Phil over here. Hello.
Hello.
That's what we feel. He's the rough and I'm the diamond. Because he's rough and tough and rootin' tootin'. Heck, you had a cowboy dinner thing over the weekend.
And I've been rootin' tootin' ever since.
Yeah, they were eating chuck wagon beans. I wasn't there, but I'll tell you what I was doing in the very next episode that you will hear. Because you're actually going to get two episodes this week to make up for the fact that you only got one last week. Or you didn't get one last week. Isn't that awesome? You're going to get two episodes. And I'm going to make it believe like we don't know anything that's happened already since the previous what we were supposed to know. You get a whole different news. So, yeah, expect the second episode this week. So have a lot of fun listening to it. And you're going to have to rewind your brain just a little bit because today's main topic is Top Gun. And why? Because we're going to have our review of Top Gun Maverick. And then we're going to talk about some of the making of the original Top Gun, plus some of the stuff we've learned about Top Gun Maverick. And I even, you know what? We're talking about some retro stuff because we're going to do some retro in the next episode. I have been finding the original movie trailers.
Do you feel the need?
I do. I feel the need to podcast.
Oh, there
and
you
quickly,
go.
And quickly, because we got two episodes. We're recording these things back to back, but we're going to pretend it was a couple weeks ago, okay? So play along, get in your DeLorean. Oh, which, that's going to sidetrack me there. Speaking of getting a DeLorean, I shared this video, I think you're probably the same 80s group that I am. Did you see where they had, somebody had edited around and made Marty McFly travel to the future and they were into the Terminator world?
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh, it's hilarious because basically they took from Back to the Future 3, because where he travels and he's wearing his cowboy stuff, but he's in the desert. So if you put the right color filter on him, he blends right into the Terminator future. But it's like, instead of yelling about Indians, it's, ah! You know, his guns the thing around and he's running. And, you know, they put the DeLorean in place of where, you know, like the vehicle's bouncing on the sand that you see in Terminator movies when they're running and
that's great.
Trying to get away from Terminator. And even the music changed around, you know, to the Terminator like future music you have. And then finally, at the end, when he thinks he's hiding somewhere, you see like the red screen come up at the DeLorean door, open it, and there's Arnold. Come with me if you want to live.
I like it. I haven't seen that yet.
I was like, this is the greatest. I don't know. I wish I was that good at editing. I don't think I could have pulled that trick. And I do that kind of thing for a living, but this was Hollywood level. It was so funny. And like, man, this movie needs to happen. This should be a fan film. If we had the budget, I mean, we did our fan film. If we had the budget, you know, that would be awesome. I could be Marty. You could be Terminator because you could walk safely because you got their bad knee. That'll work. We could believe you're a big bad machine.
Knees.
Yeah.
Well, and I do have robotics in me.
Yeah, you do. You got an implant.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is it this coming week? You're actually going to go check a look at that.
I already did, and I'll be having some surgeries coming up soon. So they're going to replace the batteries. So
my praying people, you all remember Phil. And if you're just into thoughts, that's okay. We don't mind if you think about it. And
won't take long. That's take me in now. I feel like a Terminator sometimes. The next battery that a couple years from now they'll replace, it'll be in there for about 15 years where I'll be recharging almost every day like a robot.
Now there's apparently some new technology to even get a better version of the implant you have to try to stop them seizures.
Yeah, so it'll be, but they said it'll be like that where I'll be recharging every day. I started thinking of Data. You remember Data on the whenever he would just plug himself in,
you know, lift the thing and plug a thing in his head even.
This one I'll just be sitting the thing on top of. But I was thinking like that. I was like, oh, I feel like Data.
Yeah, I get to charge up. I am a machine.
I wish I was like Data.
More machine now than man.
I wish I was like
Twisted
Data.
And pastured.
Where I could like read entire books. Remember when he would do that? He'd watch whole movies, listen to the whole things. And he just said, I was like, man, that'd be so much better.
Yes. Just, you know, if you could read something in 2 seconds flat, you know.
Yeah,
just like short circuit. The movie was better.
Yeah.
I can't remember which part of the movie he did that in. It might have been the second movie that he stops and he read the book and he goes, yeah, the movie was better.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh, yes. Well, I do have a fun story I want to share for this week, which I will probably later share this on that story show because it's a good story and I think they'll appreciate it. But I got to tell you this story because this is funny. And I'm not going to drop any names. I'll just say, okay, so I work at a television station. And let's say, you're used to the weathermen. They're a character. The wacky weatherman is a stereotype and it's well-deserved sometimes. Well, our wacky chief meteorologist, his office is kind of right next to mine. So he comes like the bug. You know, he's 60 years old, but he's a goof. He's fun. Well, there was, I can't remember what he was doing in my office or something. Probably asking questions. He likes to ask a lot of questions. He's one of those, you know, how to win friends and influence people, ask them questions. He takes that to heart. But he likes to come up with weird, fun questions. But anyways, I heard a small at one point. I kind of ignored it. I was like, was that what I thought it was? But then after that, there was a blatant, I mean, he just let one, and he's just laughing and stuff, and you know. So I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're passing gas in my office. But anyway, so later on, he's over at the weather desk doing, you know, work, getting prepared for the 5 o'clock news and whatnot. And I come out of my office because I forgot what I needed, but I was walking, and I go in passing where the studio is. There's kind of a wall that encloses it, and then you come around, and then so we were passing where I'm coming out of my office. And he was using the excuse, but he literally had lost track of where he had left his phone. But he's like, did I leave my phone in your office? And he rips a bigger one.
He was just passing.
Yeah, he was passing. By. And I said, you were totally trying to hold that to come to my office, weren't you? He's like, yes, I was. So because he was booking it towards my office, trying to, but since I stalled him out there in the hall, he let it fly in the hallway. But I was like, yes, I tell you what. So I got my payback. I wasn't feeling well that day. So while I'm standing there by the weather center, I felt something. I was like, okay, let me see if I can quietly get something out, you know. And I did. It came out quietly, not a bit of a noise, but it had some stank on it, enough to where I had to step away from the area where I farted. When I made the move, he's like, what are you doing? I said, sorry, a little silent but deadly over there. He said, all right, well, fair's fair.
Don't tell me this is going to be a new segment called Gas Prices.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about gas prices after the road trip I did this past weekend. But anyways, I thought it was kind of a fun story. But anyways, let's get into some host chatter. I need to have a sounder for that, like, but I only have 4 buttons.
If you did have a gas prices and it's about that, I'd hate to hear the sound effect you'd have for that.
Wah, wah. I had to fill my tank. Wah, wah. Yeah. Yeah, and now I'm broke. Welcome to the poorhouse. I'm homeless now. Yeah. Yeah. We won't get into why. I'll leave that for shows that try to be serious. We're not trying to be serious. We're a bunch of screwballs in this here show.
That's right.
So hopefully we make you laugh occasionally.
Even if it's at us.
I will admit, when I really miss having Eric on the show. Eric is funnier than I am.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's a funny guy. And I've had people that had commented as how funny the show is. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if that's me. I think it's Eric. Eric has got a great sense of humor. So we miss you, buddy.
It's kind of wry.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humor that way.
It's wry, but it comes out of left field and it's funny that way.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of weird and goofy. Hopefully people think we're funny.
Well, looks aren't everything, brother. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, if it was all about looks, we wouldn't be doing this on a podcast. We'd be on, we would be up on YouTube.
That's true.
And clearly we're not up on, well, no, we're up on YouTube, but all you're going to see is our lovely image, which, by the way, do you like our lovely image? I have. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com and go to our store, there are some new t-shirt designs available to you. Now, TeePublic, I recently have ordered some of my shirts. I ordered a pair of them. They came in the mail. I washed them, and some of the print came off. Right now I'm in the middle of trying to get that taken care of because it's it looks really bad. So I've taken pictures of it, and I contacted TeePublic hopefully to get these shirts replaced. But TeePublic is supposed to have some good customer service, so we'll see how that works out. But yeah, I do have some new designs available. Come and get them while they last, because who knows? I do have the old James Kennison of That Story Show had drawn me up a video game looking old school video game looking castle based kind of on Walt Disney World style castle. He did it. And I think that's the one that I think Disney more had a problem that I had Disney in the name of the podcast. I think that was more of a problem than maybe the castle. So, but they might suddenly cease and desist or tell me stop selling the shirt with the castle because I have the castle. But see, this time I have your drawing of me in front of it in my He-Man pose in front of the castle like the old school days. So and I might put like the older designed castle in there at some point as well, just, you know, to play around. You know, I'm trying to make some fun things available. And, you know, and funny things that happen on the show, I should start making shirts of
you with some things. You have a podcast.
Yeah. I wish I had some of the great lettering that Dee had made me before, but when my hard drive went, I lost a lot of the really great letter art that she had done for me.
She's awesome.
I have a podcast. She did some neat stuff. I've learned how to do some of that, though, now. So I'm not as good at it as Dee, I don't think. But
oh, she's great. I'm
getting better. Yeah. But before I get into like what have I been watching and stuff, I want to add in a what have you been reading, mainly because now I gotta be careful, I don't want to spoil anything, but on our last episode we had Gary K. Wolf on the show, the creator of Roger and Jessica Rabbit and Baby Herman, you know, all that kind of thing. And so I've got three of his books now, and I sat and I read Who Censored Roger Rabbit. Since then, I've also started. I started Who Whacked Roger Rabbit because he did say that he started working on that one actually before he did Who Plugged Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit. There we go. Roger Rabbit. But Who Censored Roger Rabbit? My goodness. You want to talk about night and day? It was entirely different from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I mean, they based it around there and they took his concepts and his characters, but they did a completely different. I mean, his take on a lot of stuff. Now, Baby Herman apparently does have a cartoon show, but like Roger was trying to be in the comic strips, and basically they would be taking photos of Roger doing whatever, and he'd be his comic strip. But he was in a comic strip as a sidekick to Baby Herman. But when they talk, like a word balloon pops out of their head, and they don't always have a sound. Yeah, they usually, so you in order to know what they're saying, even when you encounter a tune, you might have to just read their word balloon. And he even talks about the font that will be in the word balloon might have something to do with the emotion behind how they said it. But sometimes I guess they could also be audible. And Jessica, being so much humanoid and she was doing like modeling advertisement and stuff, she got to the point where she just wouldn't pop out a word balloon because she would just do actual vocal, so she would talk.
No.
But you know, Roger tended not do that. But I always I hear the Charles Fleischer voice regardless.
Yeah.
Although there's no P's at all. Roger doesn't talk like that.
Well, that was him.
Charles,
I mean, you know.
But it's Roger's kind of a completely different type of character.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil things in the book, but that book was really going to be completely a standalone. I mean, there's really no way to continue on. And except for more adventures with Eddie Valiant, but you probably would not have had Roger and Jessica Rabbit or anything in a sequel the way he set it up. But that's all I want to say, because that it's a completely different story. The characters are not exactly what you expect, and it doesn't end in a way that you would have expected. I was kind of surprised. Now, I'd say it's worth a reading. It's a good book, but I must say I did enjoy the movie better.
Very very coincidental. I watch a gal on YouTube whose name's Awkward Ashley. And she does this thing about stuff that she's never seen before because she didn't grow up watching movies like we did. And so one of the people tell her they suggest for her to watch today's show. It's every Monday and Friday. today's movie just happened to be Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So I watched that this morning, and I was excited because she loved it. She loved cartoons. She grew up watching all the cartoons. She saw most Disney stuff. So it was really cute about her. First of all, she's about the age of most of my grown nieces. She's like in her early 20s. But what's really cute about her is she was just learning the story and all that. But for every couple seconds, she'd be like, Dumbo! It was just so cute seeing like a little girl or something. She's not a little girl, but she has that cuteness about it. She's doing all that. I love it.
But the interesting thing, Gary Wolf being the creative type that he is, he was able to adapt when he's having sequels.
Mm.
He seems to be basing more on the idea of what was presented in the film, so people who watched the movies who wanted to read his books could glide right in.
Mm.
Although we still have Eddie Valiant is still kind of a sourpuss, and he still cannot stand Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
as he gets into who whacked Roger Rabbit. Now I can't remember who plugged Roger Rabbit. I remember or who plugged. I read back in middle school, but I don't really remember much of it. But the interesting thing, if you take Who Censored Roger Rabbit, it's set like it's in like probably the, I think he probably wrote it in the 80s, and it could have been in the 80s because you have a Kermit toy. There's mentions of Spider-Man. So I mean, it's not set in the era of the movie at all. So when the movie was set in that time, he started writing more towards that, and so he'll have actors pop up like in this one. It's Gary Cooper is actually in Who Whacked Roger Rabbit, and I kind of, if I'm trying to remember, like in Who Plugged Roger Rabbit, you have a I think it's the guy that was in Gone with the Wind.
You're talking about Clark Gable.
Yeah, Clark Gable. If I'm remembering it correctly, Clark Gable is a character in that one. But that's why he's kind of, these are almost probably like standalone books.
I love that era.
But these are all standalone books because he was even talking about like the I don't know if you even listened to last week's episode there, Phil, but with his new Jessica Rabbit book, it's set in a modern age, but he's changed it up. Where Jessica starts as human, but he'll go into how she becomes a toon and meets Roger by the end of the book, apparently. So I want to read it, but I think each one of his books could stand on its own 2 feet, completely separated from all their other stuff, because they don't really fit together.
So are these like full
novels?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is, so he's got four, there's like a Roger Rabbit trilogy, but I don't think they are linked really so much at all. So you could probably read them in almost any order. And then this new Serious Business, spelled with an X, y'all, that you can get on his website, GaryWolf.com, it's a Jessica Rabbit story set in modern time. So it's almost like I think it would probably link more towards the original Who Censored Roger Rabbit in that. But to me, it seems like he's writing these as good just standalones where you could read any of them. But if you want something that feels more like the movie, you're going to go probably with Who Whacked or Who Plugged. But although he does keep his concepts of the word balloons, and his description of Toontown in Who Whacked Roger Rabbit is just quiet in there. Because it's all tunes, and they talk to each other in word balloons. They don't need to vocalize. They can word balloon each other. And even sound effects go wham in letters. So you go, Eddie Valiant is basically talking the only thing he really likes about Toontown is it's peaceful and quiet. But it's not that peaceful because everything's a really bad joke.
Well, because in the movie, I love the movie, but at the same time, I get headaches real bad, and so things need to be kind of calm. That's not the way I was as a grown-up. Jeremy can abide to that. He can tell you that's true. But, man, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I loved it. But watching, even just today, watching that, bits of it, I was getting a bit of a headache because it's so bombastic and bam, 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 bam. And I'm just like, I can't. It's bright.
It's Tex Avery style.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that while I was watching it. I was like, this is like watching all the
screwy squirrel.
The crazy parts of Droopy.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so fitting that Droopy's in there.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the other thing that was so funny about watching that today, watching that gal watch that. She knew these characters, some of them, like Droopy, but didn't know who he was. She didn't know his name, and it made me feel so old. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm old.
But I remember that character.
Exactly.
Well, heck, they weren't new characters even when we were kids, but we had television stations that showed old cartoons. So we got to see Woody Woodpecker and the Pink Panther and the Flintstones
was something that someone, I was watching something yesterday that made me realize we're the last generation of a lot of things that we didn't know.
Well, every generation is the last generation of something.
But this was a lot of things.
Yeah, it was a lot of things, but
We just didn't know it.
We just didn't know it,
you know?
So, alrighty. Want to kind of cruise by theory of what have you been watching? Of course, we have to mention Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting to watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Which,
I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I there was some flaws that I could point out.
Sure.
I hate how I have agendas stuck into a series.
Yeah.
And there was some clear stuff, you know, with the style of what they want to do that I noticed. Now this fourth episode felt different from it, but Obi-Wan, now this is a man who's been a Jedi, fought in the Clone Wars. He's done some undercover, you know, he's very capable. Now, granted, he's separated himself from the Force in order to not be detected. And he's kind of given up there, but we see in that first episode. But he is completely a bumbling idiot and inept. And constantly being saved by women. Even if she's 10 years old. Because he's the one who makes a mistake and calls her by her real name. He's completely just, he's kind of a moron.
He got that, though, on his own. He got out of that on his own, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But you don't lose the ability to think, you know. But he became kind of a bumbling idiot. And I noted, like, the main thing, he is being saved by women all the time. But now that did seem to change this last episode. But I noticed that, and I'm like, that's kind of well, we have to make sure we're pushing for strong women. Like, but that's, don't do it that way. Don't do it as an agenda, because when they bring women in and they want to, well, we want to have more strong women characters, they always have to make the men pitiful.
Yeah.
And by, you know, we already discussed this, like kicking him in the groin, you know.
That's, I don't just mean this on Star Wars, but I just mean in general. That's become such a thing that it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
But when's it going to happen? How often? And it gets so old. It's lost all of its humor, for me personally, at least. It's lost all of its humor. It's almost like, okay.
It's like, oh, the main hero of this story is a man? Okay, well, the strong female character, we're going to make her kick him in the nuts. And I can almost promise you in Thor at some point, I almost expect that Jane Foster will probably kick Thor in the nuts.
Probably.
I expect that.
I hope not. Not for that it bothers me that much, except to say, come up with something new. That's all.
Either she'll do something to make Thor look stupid or pathetic.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say this about Chris.
Denigrating the men is how they've described it.
And they've done that a lot for years now. But yeah. I'll say this about Chris. He's really good. He's one of the... There's only a couple people that Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, there are some actors who can somehow take it on one side of the cheek and come right back up looking good. I don't know how those people like that can do it, but they can. There's a few. George Clooney's another one.
Yeah, you have to do it like Jackie Chan could do. Like Jackie Chan, in order to make action comedy, he would make himself the underdog in the fight.
Yes. But
he wouldn't necessarily be denigrated. He would just, you know, set it up to where he's more relatable that way.
Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth, like I said, somehow they can take it one side, come back right back up as if it didn't even bother them somehow. Yeah. And they're so good at it. I don't know how they do that. They do, though. The Rock is pretty good at it, too.
Yeah.
Although, that's not an insult to The Rock, because I really do love him, but... he's pretty much the same guy every time. I mean, you know, he's a character.
Well, he's a character type.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. A character type, yeah.
But we got to keep the show rolling because I got so much to do. So I don't want to sit on that.
Get stuck on that. Yeah.
Get stuck on that for too long. Because the other thing I've been watching, I have discovered on HBO Max that Doctor Who is there. I'd found it before, but I forgot. You know how much fun it is? Now, you haven't watched these.
I've tried. I tried.
Oh, yeah, he's having a little pain there, folks. That's what that grunt was. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
But have you watched the Christopher Eccleston Ninth Doctor ones?
No.
See, that's where I started watching, and it's very different from when your sister Sherry used to watch them.
Yeah. Still does, but I don't watch it with her.
Yeah, but, you know, so these new ones, you could actually step in. But I am finding that now that I've come back and watching them again, that stuff I didn't quite get, now that I'm more familiar with the Doctor Who universe, I get it now. You know, so... But it's been kind of fun, actually, going back and watching from Christopher Eccleston, and I'm kind of working my way up again, so, because those were some of the good stuff, because I kind of fell off with the later series. It was too much of an agenda, and so I quit.
I saw some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, bits of it.
And they're trying to fix it. They've got another new doctor in there, and I just don't know that. It's like, I don't think it's going to be quite the same, but it slowly fell off. I mean, you could really, I liked up through Matt Smith. It was all pretty good, but I forgot the guy.
Who?
After that, and
no,
I did like the doctor after the older guy, But I can't remember his name. But something wasn't quite working. So it's not as great as it was. But that's nice to have the episodes that I really loved available to watch. Now, what have you been playing? Now I got to tell you this story. So, and I've written this in one of my notes as WWE He-Man and my 1-versus-2 rules. This is my honor system. Now, when you and I have played, and we're on the same team, if it's like a tornado tag match, if we get to where there's just one opponent, I'll kind of hang back. And if you're fighting with them, I'll hang back. Like, okay, fair fight, you two. If you need my help, I'm here. But I'll try to, like, okay, fair fight, one-on-one. And I even had we did a pay-per-view, and I had fallen behind a tornado tag, and it was just me, and the computer guy was coming after me, and you were playing as supposed to be a face character as Mario. You were Mario, and you were going to go for a chair. Now, me, I was actually a heel character. It would make sense for me in a situation, it's a two against me, that I would grab a chair to try to fight back. Plus, being a heel, I'm going to cheat, you know. But as a face character, you've already got the advantage because it's a 2-on-1. So you grabbing the chair and bringing it in, it's like, hey, that's a heel thing to do. If you do that, I'm going to have to turn Mario heel because that's no what hero would do that?
Yeah, I usually don't do cheating so when I'm a hero.
Depending
on the situation. If there's several people on me, that's one thing.
Right, yeah. If you are the 1-versus-2, okay, yeah, bring an equalizer. That makes sense. That's trying to be a fair fight. But, of course, if they're fighting you, okay, well, one of them's going to be on you at a time. The other guy's going to hang back. Okay, fair fight. That's honor among warriors, right? Well, the computer does not have honor among warriors.
It's computer.
Yeah. I got into a tornado tag match. It was He-Man. I was playing as He-Man with Stratos as my partner. And we were taking on Apocalypse and Thanos. Stratos got his butt handed to him.
Oh, that's a big match.
I can't believe how many times I managed to kick out, but I'd managed to pull off a finisher and everything. But Thanos and Apocalypse, because it's a tornado tag, had no qualms, but of course they're the heels, it's okay, of beating the tar out of me and getting in each other's way to where they would actually interrupt each other's moves. So they were beating the daylights out of me, double teaming them, kept coming back, and I would gain a finisher, and I managed to get a finisher on one, but of course I could never pin, but it would give me a chance to try to fight with the other one. And I thought, maybe, I'll find a way to win. I didn't. But what was funny, and I have this video up on the Neverland official gaming channel, one of them had locked up or started doing a move, and the other one hits me, and the computer got frozen in the animation or stuck to where He-Man was walking on air, and one of them had tried to fling me into the ropes, and I went and I bounced off where the rope should be, about mid air, and it stayed like that until somebody hit me and locked up and it brought me back down. So it was kind of funny.
That is funny.
We're walking in the air, you know. So He-Man was
doing
fine.
You were doing a Looney Tune thing for a second there.
That wasn't Looney Tunes. You never seen The Snowman?
The what now?
The Snowman. It's an Oscar-winning animated, half an hour long. There's no dialogue in it. It's all music, but it's about a little boy who gets some Christmas snow.
Oh, I have it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking? The Snowman. But I'm walking in the air.
No, I was talking about the fact that Looney Tunes sometimes will walk on the air, thinking that's.
I thought you thought I was doing this funny voice, but I was kind of doing. I have to hide in falsetto. Okay.
No, I was talking about.
I was about to say you didn't know about because I was about to like I'm gonna dig it up. You're gonna have to watch it.
No, I've seen it. I thought
Heather doesn't like it because, you know, but snowmen do what snowmen do. They melt. Yeah. But there's a second one. You know, it's like he comes back. I mean, Frosty melts too, but I guess that was traumatic for Heather when she was little when Frosty melted in the greenhouse. I understand that. I get it. But so I think she relived that. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. The other thing I've been playing this week, these past few weeks, this is kind of a funny story. So when I set up my account over there at GameStop to become a pro member, my goal was when I purchase things, I get $5 a month to use, and I make a purchase, and that earns me reward points to build up. Of course, I found out that's about like getting 20 cents on the dollar in reward points to build up towards getting a PS5. So I wasn't really gaining any ground getting towards my PS5. And so I had bought Resident Evil 8, also known as Resident Evil Village, or Village Resident Evil, however you want to phrase it. I had bought it for PS5, thinking, oh, great, this will be awesome. When I finally get my PS5, I'll sit and play that. Well, I noticed I wasn't getting anywhere fast, and even my latest purchase, and I've posted it up to my Facebook page, where I bought the Fantasia Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey there And he's got the broom circling, and it plays music.
It
cost
like
me
it.
About darn near $100 I paid for that thing, but yeah. I had to get it. But I'm
I love it.
I was like, you know, I'm not getting anywhere fast. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this this PS5 copy, trade it in over over GameStop, and get myself a PS4 version.
It's stuck in my head. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. So I've actually gotten to play through Resident Evil Village now.
Fun.
And had a heck of a good time. I am going to probably put some video up on the official gaming channel. It is rated mature, folks. Don't let your kids watch, because it is a scary type of game, and there is some language, because when your main character Ethan gets injured, because part of what they like to be horrifying, because they realize it's first person, they like to do horrible things to his hands, because you're seeing it in that perspective. So they'll have like a lichen bite some of his fingers off.
Oh, Lord help
me. Right in front of you, so you're watching this. And it's, you know, just to mess with you. But, like, yeah, it's don't let your children play.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun to play, because how this was set up, it reminded me of the old-style Legend of Zelda games, where you have kind of a central hub area, and as you unlock new abilities or weapons and gain more things, you can go into new areas. And, you know, they call it like a Metroidvania now, because you get like a new weapon. So, this new weapon I have allows me this ability to traverse this, you know. And they even had some nice things where you could, you know, instead of pursuing the story, you could stop and go for treasure hunts and buy, you know, find and unlock new treasures, and that allows you to upgrade your weapons or buy new items that gets you to go further. So I was really enjoying that aspect. And I love the way the merchant, who's this duke, sometimes when you leave his shop, he goes, "Have a grand adventure." So instead of like treating it like it's horror game, it's like an adventure game, but it still has the horror elements, and it's, you know, can be downright scary and dark. And the fun thing about Resident Evil games for me is I don't like horror movies, because you're not allowed to blast the monster in the face with a shotgun. But that's why I can still have fun with Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, because you get to blast the things in the face with a shotgun.
Yeah,
that's what makes Resident Evil work for me, is, you know, blasting things in the face
Army
with a shotgun.
Army of Darkness is fun anyway, because it's kind of tongue-in-cheek,
yes,
in a sense.
Yes, it is. I love that one.
And that's a blast.
Yeah.
Literally. And there's a game of that which I really want to try. I don't remember if it's out yet.
It is out. It is a multiplayer game.
I'd like to try that.
It is difficult as snot from the video I've seen of it. I've seen groups of people struggling trying to get through. Because you're being swarmed by the deadites. And I was like, woo. But it's got a lot of cool stuff, and it's got Bruce Campbell's voice in and stuff.
How could you go into what else?
So, I mean, it's one of the ones I'm going to wait for the price to come down on it. I'm probably going to have to get it just to play with it. Now that I am online now with PS Plus, so
sure.
I'll find some friends to play with. But it's not your usual style of game, Phil.
Speaking of which, though, brother. Speaking of games, the ones that we're looking forward to,
I'm going
to
mention in the next episode.
Oh, I'll shut up.
But
then.
I'll go ahead and say so now. June 16th, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shredder's Revenge,
and that's right around the corner.
Righto. And this is my payday week, which means I get $50 this week, which I won't need the whole $50. But I have seen on Nintendo Switch, it's like there you can pre-order it for $25. But I want to get an actual disc, and I want to have it on the PlayStation, because that's where I'm online and I can play with you.
And
bring Freddy around. Little Freddy is going to have a ball with us.
A game that I do intend to get. I wasn't, you know, I haven't bought Madden in a while. I was going to get last year's, because it had
Mahomes
on
and
it.
Brady on the cover.
I don't like Brady, but I like Mahomes. So I was going to get that, but I didn't. And I didn't because I was told that it had a few things wrong with it at first.
Yeah.
But I am going to get this upcoming one, because one of the covers you can get, and I want to get, just like you said, the actual disc. The reason I want to get the actual disc is simply because the cover and everything else.
Yeah.
The reason why I want to get it is because there's an Ultimate Edition. It won't be cheap, but the Ultimate Edition you can get, and it has my favorite cover, which is the original cover. You can get it with the original cover with the Ultimate.
Like the
round.
Old, like, Sega Genesis looking?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Remember where I had him coming through?
Madden Person.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And now they have a few like that, like their best stuff. But, yeah, they have it coming through, and I'm like, that's it. Because I love him, you know, and he's gone now.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And so we need, I want to, okay, maybe needs not the right word. But I
want
to honor the man. That's why I want it, because I
want
to honor the man. I love the man.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they need to go back to having at least recordings of him, because we got those recordings.
I want
to
hear him. Boom.
I want to hear the booms. I want to hear. Remember when you used to get suggestions from him? He'd say, "This might work."
Yeah.
I want to hear that again.
Yeah, he could get the Madden's picks.
I want to hear that again.
Yeah.
I want to go back in time. I know I'm sentimental.
We'll get back in time. Yeah,
I'm a sentimental guy, but to me, you got his name. You might as well enjoy those things because that's what made Madden Madden. And, you know, I know I've heard kids and stuff saying, who's Madden? And,
imagine that. It's Madden that makes Madden Madden.
Well, yeah. So it's, to me, people are like, they're saying, well, it does, you don't need him anymore. Look, but it is his. It's his name. It's like not having anything to do with Walt Disney, with Disneyland. You need to have him on there. Look, I know he didn't make football, but, and this is a fact, he is what made Madden Madden because he wouldn't let them use his name until they made a football game with the exact amount of players and doing the true plays. So you can thank him for making games what they are as far as football games go.
Yes, indeedy. And I haven't bought one since, I guess, the 21 had Mahomes on the cover.
I still got that. That's what I got.
And I haven't really played that much. I don't play a lot of Madden, but I had to get that because my boy Mahomes is on there.
That's the last one I got, and I still play that one.
Yeah. I need to yank it out and play.
Yeah.
We can play online now.
Yeah.
Because I have an online account, too.
But I will get that new game.
We can both not know what we're doing.
Yeah, there we go. I will get that new game, though, because
I might end up doing that, too.
I love Madden.
Just because I want to see that cover. Just
my favorite.
Good old John Madden popping through.
And, folks, he had this, his hair was wavy and kind of golden because it was changing over to kind of a silver looking. Because it wasn't just gray. Because it had kind of gold with it. Kind of golden blonde. It was almost like silver and gold together. And I know what you're thinking. It's silver and gold. And so it was perfect. It was perfect, you know. And to have that wonderful hair going with it. And he's busting through this kind of this wall. And it was like paper wall looking thing.
Yeah.
And he just has this funny look on his face. And I just love that guy. He had such he's such a personality.
And the weird thing is like we're Chiefs fans and he was the Raiders coach at the time.
Oh,
that
was
like
he was
the biggest
great.
Part of the rivalry. But
yeah.
We still love him.
He was so
He wasn't with the Raiders anymore when we came to know him.
He was so affable though.
Yeah.
And he'd talk about food and everything. And he goes, let's see what they got in the trucks. And then go out there and he'd be like, let's see, they've got there's a relish with the hot dog and the bun. And he'd go through and he'd always draw stuff on the line. You remember that on the screen? He'd be drawing with the little thing. And they come up here and then they go this way. And
if he goes through and he runs another 10 yards, that's going to be a first down.
And you don't want that if they're not going to do it right.
Yes. But we got to keep the show moving, and we haven't even gotten to the... We're halfway into the show. We haven't even gotten to the news. My goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Alrighty, so...
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so, you might say that we're a little slow getting to some of this. Okay, because we haven't gotten a show out like and scheduled. But there was a PlayStation Sony State of Play for June, and they put out... then it makes them not necessarily fully announce these games. Some of them had already been announced, but and I don't think there's any dialogue in this first.
Well, there's something.
I need to turn that down. That's really loud. But this is some footage of a game called Stray. Now, Stray is, I think it's some like science fiction, but you're playing as a cat.
Huh?
Yeah. You're this little stray cat, and you got this little thing on your back. I'm trying to get to where I can see the options here. Because there's nothing to talk... But see how you got this weird environment you're going through. There's something up with this world. But since this isn't the trailer park, here we go. Let me just read for you the description now that I got it on screen. Lost, alone, and separated from family, a stray cat must untangle an ancient mystery to escape a long-forgotten cyber city and find the way home. Stray is coming to PS5 and PS4 July 19th.
Wow.
Now, what I appreciate about this is, talk about originality.
My aunt would have loved that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen that there is a, I can't think of the name of it, there is another older game that I completely missed where you're playing as like a dog deity of some level, like ancient Chinese kind of.
Really?
But you're playing as this dog and you can actually pee on stuff, apparently. But it's more of a cartoony looking style, but like classic style artwork looking. But it's really, really kind of neat. But it's doing something unique. And I appreciated like one of the recent things I've picked up for the PlayStation was Goat Simulator, where you're just trying to cause as much destruction as possible as a goat.
Notice you didn't have the cat one in China. I'm sorry.
All right. I apologize. No, I don't apologize to any of our listeners in China, because China, as I've got problems with the Chinese government right now. Not so much the people, though. No. But I apologize to all of our people in China who are not fans of your own government, or if you're American living in China. I'm sure you don't actually eat cats. I'm sorry.
No, we're just joking.
So he's just being funny.
Yeah.
So please don't send me hate mail.
No, sorry.
Please don't send me hate mail. So it's in a world where we can't make a joke like that, and everybody just say, "Oh, I see, you're just being funny." Yeah.
I did, however, this morning have cats up. That, I don't know why it's misspelled.
Yeah. Alrighty. Also, there was a bit of a look during the State of Play of the upcoming Final Fantasy 16. Now, I think there is some trailer that has some dialogue here. They call this the Dominant Trailer, but let me read some text. It says, "In a world ruled by tyranny and turmoil, there are those who would fight to take back control of their fate." I wonder if there's a description of the game.
Who are we? What are the Dominants? The power we wield, it wears away at our very being. It breaks us. It unmakes us. That its immaculate aspect might reveal itself. The Icon.
There's going to be another war, isn't there?
Every day we delay brings us closer to disaster. We must move now.
The chaos he would wreak would sweep all of Valisthea into the abyss.
I unite the Dominants, that we may bring an end to the strife and found a new order to see us unto tomorrow. If I take the field, our duel will shake the island to its foundations. Losses, it is true. Yet for every citizen who falls, another can be bred. For every home that burns, another can be built. The Empire will live on.
Square Enix and Final Fantasy 16.
Oh. Awaken, child of fate.
Sorry, there was one more line there.
Ifrit.
Summer 2023. We're a long way off.
That's amazing graphics with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Square Enix has really...
stepped up their
game. They've always stepped up with their game. They've always put things that step ahead.
I thought it was a movie at first that you were showing. I was like, oh, maybe he messed up on the...
basically, since Final Fantasy VII, because they've always had pretty epic stories, but since Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation, that's what made it a big deal, is they were like, you know what, we're going to make full, big, cinematic, animated stuff to tell the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I absolutely adored that game.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, which you got a free copy, you need to play it.
That's the only reason why I know anything about it, because of you, because that's not my type of thing usually, but you've also you also have had me make some of the characters on a wrestling game.
Yeah, I had them make me Cloud and Tifa and Aerith from Final Fantasy VII.
Like, oh, I know them. Yeah, well, they are at least.
The neat thing about the Final Fantasy series is they're completely separate stories. Yeah. They're like the only things we might find common is some creatures, and one of the things that seems common is these summoned creatures you can do, like Ifrit, Shiva, Rahma. But now we're seeing in this trailer, all these summoned creatures are perhaps ravaging the world, and maybe your main character is able to just summon Ifrit, but all these giant summoned beasts are all running around, and like it looks like they're wrecking the place, and you know who the bad guy is when he's got this line, like, well, if people die, they can be bred. If the houses burn, they can be rebuilt. The empire will live on.
Yeah.
That guy is so callous, you're like, okay, we got to take it. He's the bad guy.
Well, the moment he said it, I almost automatically thought they die.
Yes. You know? So, but all that.
We got to
get a year away.
That real callous who gives a credit, you know, it's about me.
Yeah. And I love that it's gotten back to that fairy tale fantasy feel.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what games are supposed to be anyway, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fun thing is, because I didn't, you know, like the older games, I'm not big on the turn-based combat where you're like, okay, what do I want to attack, defend, magic, you know, and click, you know, and press a button. They've gotten more to where they'll mix that style with an action combat thing where you're a bit more, you know, like Legends of Zelda. That's why I like that you could actually do the fights. And Final Fantasy VII was like, they perfected their system of doing a little bit of, like, you know, being able to give commands to do your spells or use special abilities, but also getting you into the action and be able to fight on your own. And it's, oh, wow, it looks like they've really stepped it up. But it's a year off. Year away. All right, but we better get on to the next. Most of the news I'm, you know, covering doesn't like video games anymore. I can't help it. There's just so much stuff. Oh, and here's something else that we kind of knew was coming, but we got our first look at it. I don't think there's language in this. I hope they're not, because I forgot if there was. They're saying 3/24/2023 right now on screen. It's quiet.
But to vacation, eh?
You will receive our most sacred body. It begins now.
So they've long spoke of Capcom's been remaking their Resident Evil series.
If I could just forget what happened that night. The pain. Even for a second. This time, it can be different. It has to.
So March 24th of next year. This is when I'm a little iffy. I've really enjoyed the remakes so far. They're a lot of fun and in a lot of ways, because, you know, the old games were on the old PlayStation.
Yeah.
For 1, 2, and 3, and so, like, hey, we can enhance those, and they've kind of changed the format, but they kept a lot of things the same. And one of the things I enjoy about the remake of Resident Evil 2 is, so they've always said that it's somewhere in Middle America. There's what they call the Arkley Mountains, is where the mansion was in the first game, somewhere in the mountains near a small town. Now, as you get a little bit more detail on it, I was calling it, you know what? The only mountains you have in middle of America are the Ozarks.
Yeah, they do look similar to that.
Mm-hmm. And when you see them, it's like, that looks like the Ozark. Well, of course, the Ozark Mountains are not, we're talking like smaller mountains. They're not, you know, they're not like Colorado different. Or the Appalachians.
Yeah, it's not like Wyoming or anything. It's
right. But we have big hills that are pretty much mountains down in South Missouri. But I don't want to get you sidetracked too on because we do have to keep moving, but I got to point this out. So I've always said that this was clearly somewhere in Missouri. And the Resident Evil 2 remake, for me, confirmed it. Because at the beginning of the game, when the character we have in Resident Evil 4, Leon S. Kennedy, or Claire Redfield, whoever you're playing as, pulls into a gas station. You know what the name of that gas station is?
What's that fairy tale?
Ms. Oil.
Hmm. That could be.
To me, that's like a shirt for Missouri Oil. Because Missouri University, they call it Mizzou.
That's true.
Ms. Oil.
Missouri Oil. That's a good point. I was going to say, they're kind of smart in doing what they're doing, though. They're making it kind of... it could be almost anywhere as long as it's mid.
Yeah, it's still kind of a small village. Raccoon City does not exist.
We know Smallville is supposed to be in Kansas, but it's that kind of that, you know, it just has a symbol.
And I appreciated in Smallville that they would look into Metropolis, and I was like, that's looking at Kansas City. Kansas City is Metropolis! That's what I did it in my head. But I kind of figured, you know, because Raccoon City sounds like the type of city you would have in the Ozarks. It's named for a raccoon. But Resident Evil 4, I kind of hold back on this one because Resident Evil 4 was just darn near perfect when it was originally came out. It was originally a GameCube exclusive, if you would believe that. Nintendo family-friendly put something like Resident Evil 4. And it was darn near perfect. It was... They'd gone away from the survival horror aspect to make it a little bit more action-style game. And instead of having like one major area that you're in that you just unlock stuff, it was fairly linear in that you would advance to the next area of the game and you were constantly on this journey. And this was basically following... This was following Leon S. Kennedy as he's... After having a really bad first day as a cop in Raccoon City, he was going to save the president's daughter as she was kidnapped somewhere into Europe, and he shows up in Spain to go and have this great, incredible adventure through the village there. So, yeah, it was a fantastic game. I absolutely love it. It's one of the best of the franchise. And so it's one of those things when you remake it, it's like you really can't improve on this game. Because it's one of the games that's been remastered and HD'd and everything and re-released in different forms. But remaking it is kind of like, I know they're not going to screw it up. I mean, they've been doing a fantastic job with these, but it's that part like, no, I love it as it was. I didn't need a remake. If you want to remake something, go and fix Resident Evil 5 and 6 where they thought, oh, maybe it's more action they wanted. And it kind of like, yeah, you lost what made Resident Evil cool by making action games. And the sixth one, I've tried to play it, and it's like a zombie shooting gallery. And it's like, well, it's not that it's a bad game. It's just not Resident Evil, and that's why they stripped it down. And when Resident Evil 7, they're like, oh, we forgot we're supposed to be scaring you a little bit. And putting you in situations where you're not like on some sort of power fantasy that I can gun down everything in my path. I have to have a disadvantage. So they came up with the concept of the Baker family, and you are powerless against them, and they will stalk you, and you need to hide. And they kept a similar thing with Resident Evil Village. But so 4, I don't think you needed to do anything with it. 5 and 6, I'm kind of looking forward to see what they can come up with to try to fix those up, because they needed fixed. But oh, sorry, I muted you because you had a phone call.
My phone call. I'm sorry about that. Good feller. That was kind of my problem with Twisted Metal was that it was an action, really an action game. It was twisted. But metal. Somehow, once you got into the fifth game, technically, once you got to the fifth game, which was called Twisted Metal Dark, which was on the PlayStation 2, and when they did that, they went so dark, it was too dark, literally, because you couldn't see very well. But it was not as good. And then after that, they made a couple others, and they just kept going more for horror, for so disgustingly twisted.
Sweet Tooth. I've seen like some of the little story bits where they got into the details of Sweet Tooth murdering his family. Yeah. And
he wanted to be with them again. He felt bad about it. So what they do, I don't even going to say spoiler alert because it's been a long time.
If you win Twisted Metal Tournament, you get your wish, but the person who runs the whole thing grants your wish, but a dark version of it.
Yeah, and so he gets his wish, and his wish basically he ends up in hell with his family.
Well, he was a serial killer, I'd say.
His was not quite that. His was he ends up in the grave with him, so he's buried in the grave with him, and he's stuck in there with him.
Ooh.
And it was just a terrible thing. Yeah. And it was you talk about morbid as heck.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like you kind of took all the fun out of it, because in the original ones, you were taking on Sweet Tooth. But Sweet Tooth was that he wasn't even a murderer. Originally, he was a guy stuck in a sane asylum, and when he got out, he stole the ice cream man's car. So it was a fun.
It was kind of weird. But you wonder what he was in the asylum for.
Yeah, I mean, so. Even with the first one, you were trying to get your wish and all, but it was kind of like a fun thing. You know, this went too dark.
Yeah, they went into it, made it a kind horror, of the more of a horror thing. But where Resident Evil became an action thing, but now they went back to say, hey, no, this was survival horror where you're trying to find a way to survive.
So it was almost like they went on the opposite thing.
And now they're expecting to do a series, because Twisted Metal found a new audience with that, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They lost us, but they found an audience, and now there's a Netflix. Was it Netflix is going to have a series of it?
I think. I hope what they'll do is kind of go in the middle like they once did. Yeah. Kind of go in the middle, because it's fun.
We're running close to an hour, and we haven't even gotten to our main topic.
Well, let's go to our main topic then.
Well, I got more to do. Let me just mention, I guess, I don't have to play all the trailers for these different games, but they have announced the Spider-Man PlayStation game, PlayStation 4 game, getting a little bit of remastering, and they're finally going to have it on some other things, including the PC.
What is it?
Spider-Man, that PlayStation game, which, have you played that yet? You've got a version of free PS5 because you bought the Miles Morales game.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
So, have you played that thing yet, man?
Oh, yeah.
You played through not the Miles Morales, the original?
No, just Miles Morales.
You need to play through that original game. It is fantastic. But a remastered version is coming.
Good.
For the PC. Let me move on to my next bit of news. I'm trying to move it along. And you know what? There was a launcher. There's some other games that I'm just going to skip over. Something was Lost Ruins that I kind of looked at. I was just trying to go through. And then Steel Rising. A couple of other games coming out. I'm going to skip past those. In fact, we're just going to go to the trailer park.
Mama, another gator got you in the house.
Another gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
All right, so I have some. These are, by the time we're getting this out, these are older trailers. But Disney put out a new teaser trailer for what Disney Animation Studios are doing. So Disney gets a little bit of a coverage this week.
Prepare yourself for a journey beyond what is possible. Walt Disney Animation Studios proudly presents Strange World, a new motion picture event.
Brace yourself!
Travel past space and time to a place of infinite mystery, unlike anything you've ever seen.
Where in the world are we? What in
We are in way over our heads.
I'm not an explorer. I'm a farmer.
Whoa.
We need to get out of here.
If you want to back out, this is the time to do it.
Really?
Messing with you. Come on. Let's make history.
So Strange World's coming this fall, this November 2022. And the one thing I'll credit on this trailer is the style of like an old 50s, 60s sci-fi.
I like it. Remind me of right away?
The drive-in thing that they have at Walt Disney World.
It reminded me of that, but it reminded me a little bit of Lost in Space type of style. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the original.
The original Lost in... Yeah. So I like the style of the trailer, and that makes me curious. Now, I will say honestly that Walt Disney Animation has disappointed me the last few years. I don't think they've been living up to the standard, and I feel like their characters in their computer animated are starting to get this generic...
Yes.
Style and look that's like, okay. But they are not setting themselves apart from the other animation studios by somehow or another being
superior in their style and design. I like the style and design, actually, of Pixar for Lightyear, the way their characters look.
Yeah,
I think it looks better than what we're seeing in this. But this might still be a lot of fun.
Of course, you know me. I'm talking to Jeremy here, but if y'all don't know me, I'll let you know. I'm an old school man in the sense
we
that,
are.
That it's in the sense that I still like the 2D classic look.
Yeah,
I think you can bring that into the computerized look.
Yeah,
I've seen them do it.
Yeah,
and I think that they can do. For instance,
Paper Man.
My very favorite one that they've done as far as making it look like the old style was a Tangled. I thought it really had the look.
Yeah,
and I thought, you know, that to me is this standalone is maybe the best because it looks so much like the classic movies, and yet it isn't. And that's as far as those kinds go, that's perfect.
Yeah. Tangled and Wreck-It Ralph are the last two that I really like.
Yeah, same here.
The other ones would be like, well, that was okay.
And I'm sorry, Frozen fans. I do like Frozen, but I like the music. But
I don't like it as much as a bunch of other people did.
Well, my only problem was to me politicalism. And all this stuff should never have anything to do with the entertaining cartoon. True. And when I watch a cartoon like Tangled and all that, I want to get away from any kind of thing of the world. Just enjoy
a great
cartoon like this one that we just saw. So far, that you know, just a split second, it was fun.
Yeah, but right now we don't know anything about it.
I hope it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I hope it is.
Me too.
I hope it is. But yeah, it doesn't need to have so much agenda.
And one hope I have with Disney, I hope they get back into that to where there's no left, no right, just Disney.
Just good storytelling.
Because, man, it used to be that. It didn't matter what you was into. You go to Disney, and you're going to have a good family fun time. And that's what I want again.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and still play this little trailer. Even though when we're recording this, we'll talk about next episode. The first episode of this has been released, and I did watch it today.
I haven't seen it yet.
The world has a way of making people feel small. We are connected, each of us, to those who came before.
Cosmic. I always wanted this kind of life. And I think I have this bangle for a reason. But I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You're Kamala Khan. You want to save the world,
then you're going to save the world.
I've never seen powers like that.
Bring her in.
Everything's just changing really fast.
If you save one life, you save the world.
I want you to go home and you're gonna ask yourself, who is that girl I see staring straight back at me?
You're reciting lyrics from Milan.
I am. I am.
You are.
So that was a teaser for Ms. Marvel, which it's kind of weird to try to talk about it when I've actually just seen the first episode. So I'm going to move on.
Well, I haven't. Well, so that's good for me.
It's good for you. But yeah, because now if I say something about the trailer, it's going to be tainted by I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
So
well, don't say anything, and that's okay, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
so
we're going to move on.
I will say that.
We'll talk about it in my next podcast episode.
That line was funny that he had there.
He's quoting Mulan.
For a minute there, I was sitting there saying, wait a minute. I know that from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing though, that would be a concern to people who are fans of that character is, I understand why they would do it. They changed her powers to where it has something to do with this bangle, and it's almost like more like a magic, I guess. That hasn't been explained where I'm at so far, but I can understand doing that because too much of what she does is I've said for years, like, it's Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
and she's supposed to be an Inhuman, and they've taken that out of it too. But I to not be compared to Mr. Fantastic, because Mr. Fantastic has now one film appearance and we are expecting a Fantastic Four movie. They don't want to make her the same because the comic audience, I guess, has been accepting of it. But a movie audience would be like, wait a minute, you know. So that is one thing that I will be able to point out. But here is something. I haven't listened to the audio of this, so I hope there's no language in it. I might get a nasty surprise. I don't think there is, but it's a documentary, so sometimes people talk funny.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
He writes, he produces, he engineers, he plays all the instruments, he sings, he does it all. He is a one-man band. He is Ray Parker Jr.
You're Ray Parker, man. Who is this cat, man?
Ray is the greatest living rhythm guitar player.
This man came in with a style that none of us had ever heard before, and none of us have ever heard since.
I saw this kid playing guitar.
And he says, I like the way you play. Can you play with the big boy? I'm 15 years old, playing with Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, The Temptations, and Gladys Knight.
He started playing it, and he was good. I was shocked.
I said, Stevie, you gotta hear this guitarist.
Is this Ray Parker Jr.? This is Stevie Wonder.
First thing you think, this is my friends are playing a prank.
Come on, Stevie, what? He's calling me. I took the phone and hung it up. Click.
I called him back and said, hey, this is Stevie, not playing. You hang up on me again, you get punched out.
I'm in L.A. doing sessions with Barry White, Boss Skaggs, and Herbie Hancock. Herbie Hancock is like music royalty.
Ray was able to add that groove in a way that nobody can.
I got the call to come play on Bill Withers' record. This was just too cool. You know, I'm going to play with Bill Withers.
When I wake up in the morning, love,
I was at the top of my game.
You know, you sit in that chair and you're expected to give your all. And sometimes you give too much and sometimes you don't get enough for it.
I mean, it was devastating. I'm sitting at home in a dark room looking at TV and there's a guy I never met before collecting my Grammy.
And you didn't get the credit for it.
Ray'd been on plenty of hit records, million sellers all over the place, but it wasn't his record.
As a studio player, you were part of the puzzle. I wanted to be the whole puzzle and so did Ray.
He was dreaming of stardom, you know, and his dreams came true.
Ghostbusters went to number one in 52 countries around the world.
If you go up to anybody and you go, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
I mean, everybody knows this song.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Who are you going to call?
Okay, so this is going to be a digital thing. I think it's probably going
to
be streamable.
I'm going to have to see that.
It's called Who You Gonna Call? It is basically a documentary about Ray Parker Jr. And I'll, just from this trailer, I learned stuff about him I didn't know.
Me too.
And I guess that was the point. It's like, you know, he'd done all this other stuff before he had that hit song. And what's interesting is
I was
like,
getting all excited just watching that. Yeah. I was getting goosebumps, man.
I mean, heck yeah. Especially Stevie Wonder talking about he was going to punch
I
him.
I love Stevie Wonder.
The nice thing is it's nice to hear him, you know, talking about him writing his original music because mm-hmm. Ghostbusters was one new drug.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what they wanted Huey Lewis, and he didn't do it. So they told him to do a song that's like one new drug. And when you listen to compare it, and they did have a little trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Ghostbusters, the song stands out.
And I love that song, too. I love One New Drug, yeah.
Well.
No, I mean, I don't mean like that.
Not lyrically so much.
Yeah, not lyrically. I'm talking about the beat.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis is great, dude. Yeah, but yeah, but that song, Ghostbusters, to this day, and you know, some people probably only hear it at Halloween, but me, no. No.
I'll break it out, man.
All the time.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, you guys don't know this, but I'm looking over here where I live. I got junk around all over the place. I'm looking over right now at the Ghostbusters toys and stuff all over near me.
Heck yeah.
I got collections of things, and I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh, indeedy. But that's pretty much why that trailer is here.
Yeah.
And I think they released that. We had Ghostbusters Day here not too long ago where we had the anniversary of the film,
mm-hmm.
which they said, you know what, why don't we have Ghostbuster Day? I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm down. I should have celebrated it by watching some of the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. We're ready to get controversial. Just in case we didn't take anybody off with this.
Sure. Let's do it. Let's tick them off all the way.
There's not a lot of dialogue here, so...
See tonight. I wish I may.
I wish I might have the wish I wish tonight.
When you wish upon a star,
okay, so clearly y'all recognize some tunage. This is Pinocchio, the live action, which is not even going to theaters. It's coming straight to Disney Plus.
Terrence, stream it on Disney Plus.
Now, here's the thing, and I won't even bother reading all the different comments. This has not gone over well.
Yeah.
And they even say in this trailer, timeless classic. And everybody says, if it's so timeless, why are you remaking it? The remake train is coming to a crashing halt. People are finally sick of it. I've been sick of it for a long time.
Yeah, me too.
Part of me kind of wants to watch it. I will watch it.
Yeah,
I want to take it because Tom Hanks' Geppetto sounds like a fun idea to me.
But I personally think the
computerized cat looks terrible.
Yeah,
Jiminy Cricket looks kind of awful too.
Yeah, I first got excited when I heard Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. and he was a great actor.
Yeah,
and when I saw the picture of him, I was like, he looks just like the cartoon.
Yeah.
And he sounds like him. And I thought, this is going to be great.
Is that supposed to be Italian kind of Geppetto voice?
Well, he sounded like the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I thought that's what they're doing, the retelling. And yeah. Jiminy doesn't look great, but at least it looks similar to what we recognized.
Yeah, he just looks awkward.
The cat, too.
The cat. Why didn't they just get a real cat?
But then the fairy. I saw the fairy.
The fairy
godmother, what they call it.
The blue fairy.
Blue fairy, okay. For some reason, I get that. You know what I think I do? I think I get mixed up with some of the stuff that they do with Cinderella with some of the Wizard of Oz stuff, so it's not even connected, but you know what I'm saying. So I get confused with all the names, I mean.
Yeah.
But it's like, look, I know nowadays you have to go with the different types, and I'm talking about rather be racial or rather be different things, but you all couldn't see what we were looking at, but...
I'm sure they've seen it though by now.
Maybe, but just the bald and all this other stuff, and it looked almost like a Star Trek character to me. It really did, because it looked like an alien Star Trek alien or something. I don't mean that because of race or anything, but it really looked, because it was like this weird, I don't know.
Some of the
It did look like an alien almost. The
poor actress, they could have done her some favors. Maybe.
Oh yeah, because she's bald, and I was like, wow, she really does look like a Romulan type because she has these pointy ears. Did she have pointy ears? Didn't she?
I don't know. I was just kind of like, because you look at it, and it's like this poor actress. They should have done something to make you look better than what somehow or another. It's like they didn't do you any favors. They made you look weird.
Yeah, because that's what I was gonna say. She almost doesn't look human.
And I didn't really recognize the actress.
No,
I'm like, I'm sure normally she's probably beautiful.
Yeah,
but somehow or another they did something to her that looks weird.
We're talking computer or something.
Yeah,
because it looked like they
trying to make her like this blue transparent.
Yeah, they morphed her or something, and it didn't look right.
Yeah, kind of like Will Smith as the genie didn't look right.
I know they kind of had to with him, though. I know they kind of had to as far as Genie's supposed to look kind of cartoony weird anyway.
But it just looked weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't look... Well, yeah, because...
But that's apparently... Now, normally you can't see dislikes on YouTube anymore, but some people have found a way to look at it, and the dislikes are astoundingly huge.
Oh, that's sad.
And when I looked at the comments, there aren't any positive comments.
Now, did they show Pinocchio yet? I mean, him, the character?
Not really, no.
I was going to say, but I didn't see
from what I've seen of silhouettes, they've tried to make it look exactly like the old cartoon. But you know what?
At least they didn't
watch the old cartoon.
I love the old cartoon.
Just go to that. It's beautiful.
And I love the whale. The whale.
Monstro.
Monstro looked mean, and he was terrifying to me. And mm-hmm. I loved that old cartoon.
And I like that he technically, I guess, a whale, but he's not really like a whale. He's like almost like something else.
Oh, he's terrifying.
Because whales don't actually look like that,
When I was a kid, you used to be able to go to the library and rent actual film reels.
And film reels.
Yeah,
I was about to say, because you can rent movies.
This is before VHS is all. So my grandma and them had a camera. Now there was really no noise to it, but we would just sit there and watch it. And we had this place we called the farm. It was 2 hours away. No, we were a farm too, but just the house and all. Yeah. But we go in there and we just watch that. We'd be there for a week watching it. We watched the end part of Pinocchio, and we watched it over and over and over. And because I love seeing him in the whale's belly, and my grandpa was sitting there saying, isn't that nice? He goes, you probably wouldn't want to be in a whale's belly, would you? And I was like, no, I wouldn't want to be in a whale's belly. And he'd say, when you go to sleep tonight, he goes, you think about that, how much better it is to be in there than you would be sleeping in the whale's belly.
Oh, my goodness. I can imagine your grandpa saying that, too. My goodness. Now, here's something that, I know nothing of this character, but it's a comic book, so we're going to play it. The Sandman.
I'm the king of dreams, ruler of the nightmare realm.
What are you doing here, Etty?
He's coming, isn't he?
Yeah.
Morpheus, the Aneuromancer. You know the Sandman.
He's a fairy story, Etty.
He's no fairy story. He's back.
Good to know.
What's he got in his hands? Open your hands now!
Forgive me, sire of the palace, the realm. They are not as you left them. With you gone, the realm began to decay and crumble.
The dreams and nightmares no longer seem to recognize their master. We will remind them. He's free. He's out of his cage.
So August 5th, coming to Netflix. The Sandman, based off a graphic novel by Neil Gaiman. I think you say pronounce it Gaiman. I'm probably going to want to check this out. I've never read any of the comic or graphic novels, but Neil Gaiman is so imaginative and so creative that I'm, looking at some of the visuals, it's like, this is kind of fantastic. It's like it's a mixture between some fairy tale and gothic stuff.
It used to remind me of Crow a lot.
Yeah, that's especially that last shot.
On Wizard magazine. I used to read Wizard magazine until I kept it before we had the internet.
We should have an episode dedicated to Wizard sometime.
Oh, yeah, I love it. But I used to read about him, and he always reminded me of Christ. Incidentally, not that this has anything to do with Sandman, but they are doing a redo of Crow.
Remaking it.
I hope they do it well. I hope so.
With the modern standards of an R-rated action film, I expect it to be over the top.
Hope they don't do that. Anyway.
My newer mentality, where I try not to watch stuff that puts stuff into my head. I love the original film, but I won't watch it anymore because there's some nudity.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
And a bit of lewdness and stuff. But
very much lewd.
The story is very good.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm like, I'm a remake of The Crow. I'm like, yeah, the sensibilities of the modern age are really over the top, and I can't go in for those sort of things anymore. I've gotten older. I've gotten like sensibilities that just I'm like, no, I don't approve of that. I just don't want to watch it.
And there's really no need for, in my opinion, there's no need to go that route.
It doesn't need to go that bad and that far.
You can still, and this is me, you can still have the violence without being violent. What I mean to say is, whether it be blood or shooting or whatever, it doesn't have to go to the point where it's overly.
You don't have to be gory.
That's it. That's what I'm for. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, don't have to be gory about it, for crying out loud. For crying out lewd, literally. So, yeah, but that's coming August 5th, and I'm going to check out at least an episode and see what I think.
Yeah, might be good.
Because, Neil Gaiman, like I said, he's super creative. The stuff he writes is just really imaginative. All right, but it's time for a movie review.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
You know what we got to watch? I guess it's been a couple of weeks, but we're finally going to get a chance to talk about it. But I figure we're far enough removed from the movie that I'm not afraid of spoiling anything for anybody. But we had a sequel. Top Gun Maverick. Mm-hmm. and you've got to see it twice because I wanted to go see it, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna take Philip with me. We got to go.
Oh, I love it.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
And I pulled up a Wikipedia page because I wanted to be able to talk about some of the stuff. And oh my goodness, though, what really blows my mind is that one shot where I would like to read. I should have looked this up. That when he's a Pete Maverick Mitchell has become a test pilot and he gets to fly what they call the Dark Star, I think. And he buzzes and he's flying low and he flies over like the security gate and blows the roof off of it. That was not planned. I watched the thing on YouTube. They're talking about that they were, because they wanted it as realistic, and it's like, we're going to film these jets, kind of like what the original was done, you know. I think there was maybe a few models here used to blow up stuff.
Yes,
but
no computer effects.
No computer effects at the time. Yeah, they had to actually go, although the actors were not up in the jets.
Yeah.
And when they filmed that one, but this one, the actors were up in the jets with the pilots.
Right. That's right.
Feeling the G's, and you can feel it. Oh, you can feel it with their reaction.
Oh, man. But it's great.
The shots of the jets, the stuff they love where they have the trails where you can see like the sand and dirt kicking up in circles behind it. They love that.
But
they
had
the shot where it blew the roof off the gate, and the director was just like, print it. We're using that take. I love the roof blowing off. And so it wasn't planned, but it's something that really going to happen in the movie.
The actor sold it because he was there filming it when the roof came up and he was just kind of like, looks around.
He didn't have to sell it. It was really happening.
What I mean is,
he's like, whoa.
But what's great was he didn't look back up to the roof. He did, like, because I would have been so scared of the. He didn't. He just kept looking up, like, don't you do it. And was, Ed Harris.
Harris. Yeah.
When I saw he was going to be in it, I was like, oh, that's great. He won in the first one. He seems like he should have been.
Yeah. Because you had, in the original, you had Tom Skerritt in there.
I don't even know the actor's name. God forgive me. He from Back to the Future.
Yeah. Dang it. I saw some people were talking about him because, you know,
he's even from Masters of the Universe.
Yeah. heck, they had that other guy that Tom Skerritt was talking to that was, because Viper was Tom Skerritt.
Oh, yeah.
But that other guy had been in a lot of different stuff. And Michael Ironside. Yeah.
Well, he was even on,
we should be talking about, we're going to talk about that old movie.
He was
on
Iron Eagle, even.
Yeah. We should save these discussions of the old movie for when we start talking about the old movie because we're going to.
Oh, yeah.
But just the great casting.
I even have the soundtrack of both films.
No, the soundtrack was pretty darn good.
Oh, it was.
I wasn't really a fan of the Lady Gaga song. I'm not a fan of hers, but I guess she...
Well, she did a good job for
her theme song was used in some of the scoring, but getting to hear the original Top Gun theme kind of redone a little bit. And then at the opening scene, you had her in Highway to the Danger Zone as the jets are taking off. Oh,
you got to. I mean,
just enough nostalgia, but it's such a good story.
And they even did the beginning, even though it was different filming and different ship and everything. They even did it just like the original movie, and I loved it. I mean, much so that I want to go see it again. Talking about it, I want to go see it again. Let's go see it again.
It was better than the original.
Yes, it was. You can't say that very often.
No, you can't. But this time, you can.
Yes.
And even though my wife does not like the original movie, but I'm like, you know what? And I told her while we were driving to St. Louis, I was like, you know what? What was great about this movie is even if you hadn't seen the original, they'll fill you in on what you need to know. They'll let you know about Goose and Iceman because that's all you need to know because this is a completely different story.
It somehow made me love the original even more. How? I don't know because I already loved it. I watched it almost once a year.
And not just having a photo of Val Kilmer as Iceman, but him getting to have a scene.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it really brought it.
I love getting to see Val in the movie.
I don't remember his name, but you already know I've been telling you. I've been watching him every week.
Oh, the guy who played Rooster.
Rooster,
son of Goose.
I've been watching him every week on this show called The Offering. The Offer.
Yeah.
And
about the making of The Godfather.
About the making of The Godfather. And there's one more episode. This week will be the last episode of the series, at least the season. I'm assuming that the rest, unless they make one about the second movie. But anyway, it's really good. And he's such a good actor. I can't remember his name. But he's such a good actor because he's the main actor in it. And boy, he did really good as Rooster. And of course, women are going nuts over him. When they should. He's handsome. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But he looks so much like Goose.
Yeah.
I forgot the actor's name from Goose.
Oh, it's
from ER.
Yeah.
And from Revenge of the Nerds of all things.
I almost had it. Let's see.
Well, it'll come up when we talk about the next movie too. But this had a great premise to make it similar to the first movie where pilot's kind of doing some training, but they're training for a very specific mission. And clearly the writers, producers, so they were Star Trek fans.
Star Wars.
Wow. Well, they might have been Star Trek fans too. But Star Wars fans because it's the freaking trench run.
Yes, it is.
And you got a 2-meter wide target to hit, you need to use a computer to hit it. But what I'm it's been long enough. Hopefully you've seen this. But spoiler warning, they did the same thing in Star Wars where the computer failed when the money shot needed to be made. And he had to do it by himself. Because George Lucas, his whole thing with the trench run was that the technology will fail. And it's about the human having to do it with, you know, of course, with the Force, you know. But it was that same thing where the technology failed and he had to just make the shot.
Yeah.
And the guy who's the reluctant hero type makes the shot. I won't say who because I don't want to spoil it that bad. But, oh, it was so awesome. And I love the way they're still, the MiGs in the first movie and even in this one, they don't really say what country they're going up, you know, and who these other fighters are. They'll just leave it as out there so they don't take off another market. But I always considered, like, in the first one, it's the Russians. So I was like, you know, it's the same little star symbol. I'm like, oh, it's probably the Russians because it could have been, like, in the mountains.
Well, I was looking off for a second. There was, you know, the guy in this movie who plays Bob? I was trying to think. I was reading the other day.
Bob. Oh, yeah. Bob. Well, okay. Yeah, Bob.
I was trying to think.
Even his code name was Bob. It was awesome.
I was trying to think the other day, but I was reading that he's the son of someone famous, and I was trying to think of who it was. But I was like, oh, hey, cool. But I can't think of who it was now.
I bet I can find him.
Yeah, he's going to look it up. But I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I got an ad that got in the way.
But I thought that was pretty neat. And I never would have guessed it. But after I read it, of course, I'm like, oh, I see it. Of course, when you're not looking, you don't see.
Yeah. But. And there were some reasons that why Charlie, the character Charlie, didn't come back with Kelly McGillis. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was that she wasn't really going to be able to come back, and she doesn't really do movies anymore. She's kind of retired, and she's talking about, like, well, I'm kind of old and fat now.
Oh,
so, she's not that big.
No.
But so she wasn't really wanted to do it.
Some women think themselves worse off than they are.
Yeah, she needs to be kinder to herself.
Yeah.
But we got. I'm not complaining. Jennifer Connelly as Penny, the new kind of interest.
Yeah, she was great. They even suggested. I was reading a thing about one of the writers. They even suggested that she might have been a daughter of one of the old admirals from the first film. Not necessarily Tom's. What's his name? But they were saying that she might have been a daughter of one of the admirals there, or something that we may have known from the first film. I was wondering which admiral that would have been, but I thought, boy, I remember those admirals from that first film. I wouldn't want to be dating one of their daughters. I'm afraid they'd kill me.
Well, dang it! All I'm doing is I'm finding stuff about Bradley Bradshaw, which was Rooster. That's Goose's son.
Yeah.
but I can't find the actors list here on the page that I pulled out to be able to talk and stuff. But oh my goodness, you just heard us pretty much raving about it. And I'm sure you've read online how everybody's like, oh my gosh, that was so good. We're just going to confirm that it is a really good story. And of course it runs a lot of that typical thing, like where we have that dark chapter somewhere in the middle and then we come back with this great defining moment where, you know, what they're doing seems impossible, and then Maverick shows them, no, this is possible, you can do this.
I was telling someone just recently, well,
great character development.
My mom was one of them, but they said maybe I should go ahead and go. So I said yes, and if you need someone to go with, I'll go with you.
I will go again.
I'll suffer for you.
If I must suffer, humanity will suffer.
That's okay. Right. If I must suffer. Well, that's my favorite line from Best from Batman.
Right. But, okay, so, yeah, we definitely 3, 4, 5 thumbs up. As many thumbs. I'm talking big toes up as well as my thumbs for Top Gun Maverick. That's a great way to launch the summer blockbuster season. But,
yeah,
I want to deep dive. Deep dive into the danger zone. Mm-hmm. Take a listen to this one and get the nostalgia.
Going to send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need for speed.
For 5 weeks, you're going to fly against the best fighter pilots in the world.
You guys really are cowboys.
I don't like you because you're unsafe.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
The wild card. Flies by the seat of his pants.
I guess when I see something, I go right after it.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
Gentlemen, this school is about combat. There are no points for second place.
Figured it out yet?
What's that?
Who's the best pilot?
No, I think I can figure that one out on my own.
Top
Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis. Top Gun.
Now, the weird thing about that movie is for some reason, I missed all the ads for when that movie came out. And I didn't hear about it until my brother had brought the soundtrack home from middle school on the cassette tape.
He was so nuts about it.
Yeah. The soundtrack is almost as big as the movie. Like mm-hmm. Footloose had an incredible soundtrack.
I remember seeing the ads while I was playing in my room upstairs at the time. And we went out and saw it on Christmas, 1986. Oh, I just looked up that guy's name. His dad was Bill Pullman, or is Bill Pullman.
Really? Which is the guy who played Bob?
Yeah.
Was Bill Pullman? How about that?
Yeah, his name, let's see, I think is Gary Bill Pullman.
All right, for anyone who not realize, okay, Bill Pullman, let's just say Spaceballs.
Pullman is the character's name.
Well, he looks like the actor's name, you mean. Yeah. He looks like his daddy, now that I think about it. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that cool? I thought it was pretty neat, but yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But yeah, Lewis Pullman is the name. So,
all right. But now we're going to talk about the original film with some nostalgia.
There you go.
I didn't see it until it was on video cassette.
Oh.
But 1986, American action drama film directed by Tony Scott, and they dedicated mm-hmm. this new movie to Tony Scott, mm-hmm. Ridley Scott's brother.
Yep.
Never quite got the recognition that Ridley has gotten.
No, he
Tony
should.
Scott has passed away. Yeah. I was even watching a thing where they mentioned some of the Tony Scott's movies, and some of them, like I had seen some of them, I hadn't, but they weren't always as big as what Ridley Scott has managed to do. But Tony Scott was still a good director.
Another one that I loved, and I saw it with you for the first time, is on HBO when you and I watched it together, and that was Days of Thunder.
But that was a Tony Scott. Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it was a Tony Scott mm-hmm. one. Yeah, I remember that one. That's the first thing that they got. I always forget that actor's name now, but he played Rowdy Burns, and he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love him.
And I'm actually an extra in a movie that he's in. I've been in a movie with the man.
That movie has so many great people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
That's how they got together.
They met that one, and then
it's got Robert Downey Jr.
They did that other, that more of a drama that's supposed to be like in Ireland or whatever.
I would say Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall's in it.
Yeah, but we're supposed to be talking about.
We'll get to that. But I was going to say that movie.
We'll get to it. This is the main topic. We're supposed to be on it.
What's his head a while ago? He's talking about from what's that cartoon you mentioned?
Which
the one you liked?
What cartoon?
The Disney one.
Pinocchio.
No. Talking about the one that's supposed
Fantasia?
To.
Fantasia.
No. Let me talk. The one that video game one.
Rick and Ralph.
Rick and Ralph. Rick and Ralph himself is from Days of Thunder.
He's in the. I haven't seen Days of Thunder in probably darn near.
Yeah, he's
20 years.
He's one of the guys who's helping. Who's on the team helping him fix the cars and all. I can't think of the actor's name.
Oh, I can't think of it either, dude.
But you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, he's in it.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the first things he ever did.
See, now we're gonna have to yank that movie out sometime.
I watched it the other day. It's great. I can get it anytime.
I remember the Nintendo game was.
Yes.
I sucked at it.
But boy, it was fun. And you remember how Hardee's had the little cars you could get?
Yes.
And what was funny is I thought because it was Hardee's, right? And they also have Mellow Yellow. And Mellow Yellow was their car. But what's funny is I thought, oh, Hardee's is gonna be the good car, right? But no, it was a villain. Hardee's was the villain, and it was Cary Elwes who was Elwes. I don't remember how to pronounce it ever, but Cary Elwes, he was the bad guy in the film, and he was Hardee's.
For a while, it was Rowdy Burns.
Burns, and then
Burns became his friend.
They're like friend enemies.
Yeah,
frenemies, and it was great. But it was a great show.
But we're supposed to be talking about Top Gun, brother, and we're running. Goodness sakes, we're already an hour and a half into this show.
But Days of Thunder is like. Top Gun on road.
Because you have the brash, over-cocky guy who thinks he knows everything but has a few things to learn.
And a problem with his dad.
Yeah.
And that's... it's
yeah. With the girl who tells him the control is an illusion, you infantile egomaniac.
Yeah, the girl. And it's an older man who has to be his father figure, who brings him back down and helps him. So it's funny. It's funny.
And instead of having the accident where him and his friend become friends mm-hmm. because of an injury, it's a bad accident that Goose dies.
And in this one, the guy can't drive anymore because of an accident.
Yeah, he needs to get that surgery so he can't drive in the race.
See, there's a...
He needs to get the surgery to fix how he's hurt.
It's like Top Gun on the road.
And that's Jerry Bruckheimer, which produced the Top Gun Maverick. I don't know if he did the original Top Gun. Did Bruckheimer do that? Because I know he did Days of Thunder, because that's what I remember seeing the tree with the lightning symbol
he did.
That he used to
It's like everyone who did Top Gun did Days of Thunder. So it's like it's like the original sequel.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, that's kind of, the funny thing about Top Gun, I heard a podcast point this out, and I was like, dude, you're right. It's a secret chick flick. Disguise
is
an action movie.
So is Days of Thunder.
When you look at the fact that how many often you have these like handsome, young, muscular guys that are running around with their shirts off,
yes.
It's like, And this centers around a romance like this. That's a chick flick.
Yeah.
It's like, dang.
But it was in disguise of a military.
But speaking of the military, because of Top Gun, recruitment to the Navy, because people wanted to fly F-14s. And that's also made it when I was younger. We'd go to air shows and watch these, and I got sunburned like you wouldn't believe.
Did it take your breath away?
I got to see the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber buzz over me once.
There you go.
When it was back when they were still pretty secretive, they like they couldn't land it for us to really get a look at it. It says, "But we're gonna fly one over, and you'll get to see it as it zips by overhead." And it was so wild that as it went by, you'd hear like a, and then the sound of it was hitting later because it was going Mach whatever flying by us.
To this day, when I watch Top Gun, I still catch things I never caught before. Did you notice at the last scene of Top Gun, when he's sitting at the jukebox, and they're playing the song, if you notice, there's a Kansas City sign right there behind him. It shows Kansas City. It's a Coors or Budweiser. Budweiser sign. But you can't see it because the Budweiser thing very well. You have to look really close.
Yeah.
I got a big enough TV that I could see it. But I got real close when I saw it. Oh, it's barely written in there. But yeah, it's Kansas City and it shows our city. But that's where we're from. But anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Stalkers. They know where to find us now. Yeah, that's actually kind of a joke from that story show, or back when it's called Nobody's Listening, when somebody would give an address or their last name, and they're like, stalkers!
That's funny.
They're anyway, gonna find us.
Top Gun is a great film.
It's a great old film, which it's just every bit of cheesy 80s fun that you want.
I remember when it came on video, people were buying it out like crazy.
It was just it's just a lot of fun to watch. And I had barely remembered it. And I before the second one came out, I was like, I need to sit and watch it again because I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And I was like, dude, this is just kind of fun.
All those goosebumpy feelings of fun of the 80s, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can I tell an embarrassing story on myself?
Go ahead.
When I was a little kid, because, oh my God, this got me into like fighter jets and everything. And I remember down in Lebanon where I had some family, and there was like Saturday morning, and they were showing some stuff on fighter jets and everything. And I was like, and I was rolling on the floor. This monkey's all over me. And then I realized everybody's looking at me like, sorry, I lost myself for a little bit.
Hey, this is your man.
I was a little kid.
Here's what I used to do on Saturdays.
I was 10 years old.
I didn't have much else to do, right? So a lot of times I go outside and get on my bike. And when I did so, I would pretend, a lot of times music would go through my head. And one minute I would have songs from different movies stuck in my head, like of E.T. or whatever. And that's what I'd be doing because I had a red bike. And then I'd have the whatever, you know, Top Gun song. And so I'd be like flying. In my mind, I'd be flying.
Leaving the driveway was getting off the deck of that aircraft carrier. Or leaving a ship of having to be Star Wars.
Yeah, that would be another one. Another one would be, dun, 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 dun. And I'd be, or whatever I was in the mood for.
As soon as this bike gets up to 88 miles per hour.
Yeah, 88 miles per hour. And then another one I'd be doing a lot of times, I'd have in my head for some reason, not only those. Oh, it was, which one was it? For some reason, just now left my mind. But I would have a whole bunch of songs that would be stuck in my head. Oh, I know what it was. Axel F. from Beverly Hills. Yeah, it gets stuck in my head, my man. Goodness. And I go for hours just going crazy.
Oh, my goodness. But anyways, I do have a few like details of behind-the-scenes facts. And I did see that it was 45% increase in naval recruitment.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's going to happen again.
Well, he did that. When he saw that, one thing about Tom is making that movie that got him into serious learning how to make movies.
I'm not going to be able to get any behind-the-scenes facts because I'm blocking ads. Screen Rant
won't
let me in
anymore.
He started
making movies. He started learning about how to make movies while making that film.
Yeah.
And he got very serious about it. And he actually started making little things to show at schools and things about the Navy, which I thought was very cool to help about that kind of stuff. Because I thought, that's nice, you know. I mean, but he really puts his all into films. I'll say that about him.
But we really should wrap this up because we've gone on for over an hour and a half. And we're actually going to record a second show, so make sure you come back. Keep an eye on our show because this week you're going to get two shows. But we do remind you all to visit neverlandpodcast.com, and right there in the middle of the page you will find my podcast reviews, where if you happen to have a podcast, for just a simple low fee, you can get all your reviews sent to your email. And have a very easy way for people to leave reviews, which, by the way, leave us a review. If you go and click on there, you can leave us a review through Apple or whatever, and then I'll get to see it. But we want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro to the show. Don't forget to send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. So if we manage to tick you off, let us know. Go ahead. Be nice. Be nice, though. Don't send us hate mail, please. I would appreciate it. But I'll, if you hate us, I'll mention it.
It's maybe all his fault.
I try to keep us from going in a direction, but Twitter.com/NeverlandPcast, and then also on Facebook, search for Neverland Podcast. You can find our group as well. Leave us a voicemail. I don't know if this number even works. Let's just skip that. Join the Neverlanders on the website, because they were going to shut it down, that voicemail phone number. And you can, of course, please do donate to us, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. You can find that link also on the shirt. And as I mentioned, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, click on store, you can get your own t-shirt or sticker, or you know, they'll print this stuff on everything. That helps us out. I don't get a whole lot from it, but that does help out, you know, when people order stuff. And plus, and you get a fun little drawing of me that Philip did, so you know, it's fun, it's cute, it needs a little cartoon being He-Man. So yes, come and purchase some stuff. But until we see you next week, or actually later on this week, get lost in an adventure.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.